numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly, and I do mean proudly, brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Mike Pritchard, our own Mike Pritchard, VSiN host, to join us, talk NFL with us here momentarily. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke with his baseball plays of the day and his baseball ruminations. Plus Dan Bespris, best audio in the biz, talk NBA with us as well a little later on. NFL schedule is scheduled. See what I did there? NFL schedule slated to be released. Let's do that. Tomorrow. But the old trickle out has happened.
Yeah.
So first, it's the international games. Would you like to hear them, Kelly Bidlin?
What you got?
Here we go. Week four in London, Falcons and Jaguars.
Jags, 4-point favorites.
Is that right? DraftKings
has lines up.
Are you serious?
Already. Yep.
Week five, following week, first time this has ever happened. Jags in London again versus the Bills.
Bills, 3.5-point favorites. No totals up.
Because the Jags will have been there for a week, and that's why that total is, that's why that spread is muted, right?
Plus,
the Jaguars are good.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Week six, Ravens, Titans also in London. Back to back to back weeks here with games in London.
Ravens, 5.5.
Lamar Jackson back in the fold. Week nine, we go ahead 3 weeks. We go to Germany. Dolphins and the Chiefs.
Chiefs, 5.5.
Tyreek Hill revenge game. Week 10, Colts, Pats in Germany.
Pats, 5. Yeah, the Dolphins, Chiefs, come on. We needed that in Kansas City.
Yeah. Wasn't there some kerfuffle about that where the Chiefs didn't want to do this?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go all the way over there either.
So week 10, Colts, Pats, Germany. So that's three games in London, two in Germany, and then some other stateside games have been released. Dolphins, Jets, rematch of the AFC Championship after the 1982 season. A.J. Dewey, Richard Todd. Sorry, I'm being told they've played since then.
Jets.
That's Black Friday on Amazon. See what they did there? Amazon.
Yeah, why am I seeing Thursday for that? But that's not right. No, that's Jets, 2.5.
Jets, 2.5.
And then tie the Fins into a teaser, baby. 8.5.
Teaser. Week 16, Giants, Eagles on Christmas Day.
Eagles, 7.5-point favorites.
And then New Year's Eve, Chiefs and Bengals.
Chiefs, 3.5. Ooh, take the hook with Joe Burrow right now.
As you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly and I, not as excited as others about these opening
lines. I mean, it's interesting. You should not be betting game spreads right now. Sorry.
See, the only thing, but Will Hill brings up a good point with some of these, though, like when the schedule comes out in earnest with a full schedule, that if you do think that something's going to change dramatically, he's the kind of bettor that's willing to come on the show and say, I got a week 18 play I'm playing right now. He'll do that.
You know what? I shouldn't have said what I said. You're right. There are people when you have like stuff like that happen that are willing to take risks like that, and that's fine. If it gets home, it's home.
Yeah. If that floats your boat, if that's your thing, I mean, other cliches can come along.
Winning's winning.
Mike Pritchard joins us, everybody. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Listening to you guys have a fever pitch about this schedule, this quasi-schedule release, right?
As a player, did you care at all? Like when it came out, did you furiously peruse it? Did you not care? Did you somewhat care? How'd it go for you?
Where are the cold weather games in the month of December?
Interesting.
absolutely. You have to start preparing for that mentally. I mean, you know who your opponents are, right? I mean, you know and all that. So the dates, they didn't really matter. It's just, okay, are we going to Buffalo towards the end of November or early December, or even late December, right? I mean, are we doing something like that? Chicago, things like that, Green Bay. Outside of that, no. I mean, you're starting to gear up and starting to train and get your body and your mind right for the season now.
Is the travel as much as we make it out to be? Generally speaking, obviously, we talked about international games here. You were not in an era where they played international games. But from what you know and what you might imagine having played the game, managing that is a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we played international games when I was with the Broncos in Seattle in terms of preseason.
Yeah.
Like we traveled to Japan and played San Francisco over there. We traveled to Barcelona, played the Raiders in Barcelona. You know, this is, you know, the early 90s, mid-90s. And so... The travel is something that you're aware of, and certainly the coaches are aware of. Give you a great example. So when we traveled to Japan, imagine that trip from Denver, Colorado to Japan. And as soon as we got off the plane, Mike Shanahan made us run gassers. Because one, it was a business trip, and okay, you're in Japan, you like to get out, you like to explore and do all that, but no, this is a business trip, even though it was preseason. So we got off the plane and ran gassers, and then, you know, pretty much everybody went to bed after that because you had to acclimate yourself to the time change and certainly getting off a plane, being on a plane for that many hours. So I think teams on the East Coast are going to have the advantages that way. Teams that have been internationally and played already, there's going to be an advantage that way because they're already going to be through the routine, right? But no, there's certainly a time where you have to get acclimated and make sure that you're right for that game out there, though.
It's so funny. When you just reminded me, they played preseason games in Osaka when Steve Spurrier was coach of the Skins. They asked him on his way to Osaka, they're like, what do you have to say to the people of Osaka? Like NFL hoping for some sort of, you know, grandiose statement. He goes, tell them we'll see him in Osaka. That was what he came up with.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking about Mike telling us about, you know, the plane in the Japan Bowl back in the day, too. So, like, Mike, how many games did you play in Japan in your collegiate and pro career?
Well, you know, Kelly, I've been to Japan four times, and I played two football games. I was MVP of the offense of the Japan Bowl in college. I had that jersey. I'll put that jersey back up one of these days. And then in preseason, I took Drake for deep in the exhibition game. It was on ESPN. I think it was the last time they showed a preseason game in Japan, and it was us against the defending champions, Mike Shanahan against the team that he coached or helped win a Super Bowl with, now with the Broncos. And so that was the debut of Terrell Davis on that hit that made him and propelled him into a Hall of Famer, perhaps.
Oh, wow.
So, it was a historic moment. But no, I've been, Kelly, I was fortunate to be to Japan four times, man. And I highly recommend going to Japan.
Four times, three times to play a game, you said? Three times to play a game, one time just for the heck of it.
Two times to play a game and two times just kicking it, Gil.
Just kicking it. Mike was like, they have a Freaknik in Japan, I'm going.
They do. Did. It's called Roppongi.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
That's phenomenal. Roppongi. Look that up, Kelly.
It's a district. Give me all that. It's a district. Yeah, it's a district.
Okay.
So,
all right. That's awesome.
Beach Park, Piedmont Park, yeah.
All right, so now I haven't had a chance to talk to you after the draft. Obviously, I don't want to go through it player by player, but I just want to get sort of your biggest statement, which is, and I'll just sort of lead you into the one that I'm thinking, obviously. The Eagles just, you know, Washington tried to do this kind of just like, let's get as many Alabama players on defense as we can. And by the way, that worked out well for them. Like, they have stalwarts in Payne and Allen on that defense. What about the Eagles now taking that on steroids with the Georgia defense? Do you believe that they have, and I was in the tank for the Niners, right, year after year, but it is Brock Purdy. We don't have enough sample size to know if Brock Purdy is really good or not. We do have enough on Jalen Hurts. Do you believe that the Eagles have separated themselves dramatically or at least somewhat moderately from the rest of the NFC field?
Probably moderately. I mean, you know, NFL is a snowflake. Each and every year is like a snowflake. I mean, it's so different. Last year, what the Eagles accomplished was remarkable. It really was. I saw the Eagles a couple of years ago when they came to play the Raiders. And up close and personal, that was an impressive team, but they weren't just there yet. But so obviously last year they got over the hump. I think the consistency of Howie Roseman, though, at GM, that helps you as a better to understand what he's going after. I mean, that locker room is going to be connected, right? That locker room is going to be a strong, strong locker room. I think Jalen Hurts has also put himself into that area in which he's that type of leader, too. And so those guys are going to follow him. I think they got a great fabric. And to me, from a betting standpoint, that gives them an edge. But, you know, the league evolves, teams evolve, teams get better, players get better. The thing I want bettors to understand is that there's so much talent in the league, right? And we know that it's dispersed throughout the 32 teams. But what separates these teams is the consistency or the knowledge to get better. So we'll see Jacksonville get better, right? I mean, there's teams that understand how to get better, even though they're immensely talented. And then there's just teams out there that don't have a clue. even though they're very talented as well. So to me, that's what I'm looking for, those edges in which I can determine and see for myself are the teams that are getting better throughout the offseason.
Is there a team sight unseen that you're already thinking in your head doesn't have a clue?
Doesn't have a clue? It's fascinating. I'm curious about the Dolphins a little bit. I really am. I think bringing on Jalen Ramsey, that's an older player that's, you know, his better days are behind him. But yet, is that going to help them be competitive within a division? Obviously, Arizona, they don't have a clue. I mean, that's an easy one. I think the Rams are going to tank for Caleb Williams.
Wow.
They're closer to losing two more games than they won this past season. Than winning four more games with that roster. Those teams that just don't understand how to continually get better. Tennessee is jumping to my mind right now as well, even though they've kind of transitioned a little bit from the roster that they once had. Green Bay, too, that's jumping out as well.
Real quick, 10 seconds. Besides the Eagles, what's the team coming out of the draft that you're like, oh, they did something?
They did some really well.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, obviously, Seattle. I mean, you got enough draft picks that way. Seattle was significant. I think the Giants were sneaky good, too. I'm keeping an eye on the Giants.
Okay. Interesting. Especially that the answer to, like, who do you think doesn't have a clue? I've filed those away mentally for later this year when the bets start happening. Thank you, Mike. Always interesting. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Mike,
yep, my
Pritchard.
Pleasure. Take care.
At MI Pritchard.
Let's go clubbing in Roppongi, Tokyo with Mike.
We got to do a live shot from there. Live show. Coming back with Jason Weingarten next on Baseball.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Spin bets.
Want to know where the money and myths are moving every game? That's the money and bets. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way, too many to count, that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Couple follow-ups to that Pritch segment. One, Spurrier. The only thing worse than, we'll see him in Osaka, was when they went 5-11. Skins went 5-11 his second year, and they asked him about it. He goes, well, we wound up 5-11. Not very good. But there was some worse than none. So that's something.
Your highest rated bar, by the way, by TripAdvisor in Roppongi, Tokyo, is the New Matrix Bar. So go check it out if you're in the area.
Okay, how amazing was it that I made some random Freaknik comment, which, by the way, for those of you in the know, you know, and Pritch had a response immediately to that. I also thought I also thought from a football perspective, that Rams tanking angle is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how many thousands of dollars I would pay for the ability to go into a time machine and go party like it's 1994 with Mike Pritchard in Tokyo, Japan.
Phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Good times. As it is, we have to get our Pritch segment going.
That was awesome.
Entitled?
Yeah, like, you just brought up you asked him a question. I was like, there's no way he's going to remember. Like, he's not going to have an answer.
Oh, yeah, permanent.
It was...
Again, we have to initiate our Mike Pritchard segment entitled Pritch, Please. We got to do that. Let's make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. You can find him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Always fascinating with his sports and non-sports commentary alike. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. You shaved. What's happening with you?
Yeah, it'll be back. It grows pretty quick. It just, you know, it's like mowing the lawn, you know, you gotta cut it back every once in a while.
Girlfriend likes it, girlfriend not too happy with it, which is it?
She doesn't mind it. She thinks it's probably a little bit of an improvement.
Yeah, you know what your mind does when I shave mine? She's like, please grow it back. That's what she says.
It'll grow back very quickly.
Okay. What do you got in baseball today? What'd you bet?
Brewers. I like the Brewers a lot today. Wade Miley. Coming into the season, I was real high on him because he works so fast to begin with. I think he's kind of immune to the pitch clock. You see, you're getting like 152 on the Brewers in a getaway game. I got to feel like the Dodgers are pretty exhausted. They They haven't had a off day since like last Thursday or something at this point. You know, they got in late after playing Sunday night baseball, and this is the third game, you know, the Milwaukee series. So wouldn't surprise me if they just want to get back on the plane and get home. So Brewers, I think, is a pretty good spot here.
I like it. The old getaway day angle. Miley against Kershaw. Brewers catching plus 152. What else?
What else? I bet the Cardinals today. I think it's too early to leave the Cardinals for dead. Getting, you know, like minus 109, I think, is the price now. I got them a little closer to even money before, actually, it was last night. But the Cardinals, like, it's such a weird story, everything going on with them.
Yeah, I brought this up with Spore. I wanted to get your comments on this, too. Like, what you know, with the whole Wilson Contreras thing.
I just think that the shift so quickly sort of implies that the pitchers had a hand in this, you know, that it wasn't just a front office or a managerial decision. The players must have had some sort of hand in this. And yeah, I really wish Josh Towers was on the show so we could ask him about this. Cause
ooh, let's get that done. Yeah.
You know, this is kind of the thing. I just can't see how this wasn't a player driven move, at least partially them saying, we don't want to throw to this guy.
What we're referring to, I should probably set it up. Wilson Contreras was, by the way, the Cardinals have the worst record in the National League, 13-24. They're always an organization that people feel will figure it out during a season and are historically one of the great teams in Major League Baseball, of course. But they've had a terrible one-run record this year. And their big free agent signing this offseason behind home plate to replace Yadier Molina, their legendary catcher, was Wilson Contreras, 5 years, $87 million, and literally like half an offseason and a month of baseball in, they're like, yeah, we don't want you playing catcher anymore. You can hit, but you just can't be behind home plate. So that's basically the backdrop of this, which is curious for an organization like that.
And they demoted Jordan Walker and Tyler O'Neill. You know, they're just playing around with different guys, and it just seems like there's a little concern there for me. But you know, I do think that their record is not indicative of them actually being a decent team. But I'm a little concerned, especially Arenado not playing great. You know, it's deserves further, you know, inquiry is where I'm at with them right now.
But you're on them today, Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, you know, I think they've been playing fine the last couple games. I've been betting them, you know, pretty frequently. I think, you know, they might have bottomed out. If they do keep losing, the manager is going to get fired. You know, can't last much longer if they don't pull out of this. But I really do think they pull out of this. And the Cubs pitcher, Justin Steele, I saw he's like 9-1 at Westgate for Cy Young. Obviously his strong start, but like, can he really keep that up? Is Justin Steele an elite pitcher? I don't know. I think I'm going with the Cardinals today.
All right. So Brewers as a rather sizable dog, plus 152 at home against the Dodgers. Cardinals slight favorite on the road against the Cubs in that part of the country. They consider that the biggest rivalry in Major League Baseball. I think the Red Sox and Yankees fans would differ with that, but still. What else? Anything else today that you've played already? And are you looking at some first innings, even though those numbers might not be up yet? Are you looking to eye some of these?
I'm looking for first innings. You know, surprisingly, I've played far less of them the last couple of weeks, and it's just sort of a numbers thing.
Yeah.
I haven't found very many good numbers. I do play them when I find them, but no, I haven't seen anything yet. Gotta go through those numbers a little bit later.
On vacation for this, but did you play there was a game where the line was like 15 and a half of a Padres
Mexico
game,
City,
the Mexico
yeah.
City game. Did you go oppo on that?
No, I actually, that was kind of lucky. I bet the over the first game, figured it would fly over. And then they really over adjusted the second game. You're able to get like under 21 and a half. So I bet that. I was like, all right, like blackjack, we're betting, you know, can't bust tonight sort of thing. It was a fun bet. Got the under there. And then they were traveling. There was no day off the next day. This is where the story gets unfortunate. But I was really excited that the Giants were going to Houston, you know, playing Monday after playing Saturday and Sunday in Mexico City, which, you know, you're coming down from like 7, 1,500 feet altitude is pretty tough to play the next day. Everyone's probably, you know, pretty exhausted. Plus, later on, we found out like 75% of the Giants ended up with diarrhea after the trip. I don't know if you caught that. But
little medical update from Jason, everybody.
Over strikeouts in the Monday game. It was like my favorite bet of the week last Monday. I bet it way bigger than I normally would a strikeout prop. Bet a ton on it. I don't know if you saw it or you saw it, you heard what happened. Threw eight pitches, came out, tore, you know, elbow. Tommy John, he's done for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But that's one of the unfortunate things about prop betting. It was such a good bet too. You know, he could have easily, if healthy, struck out seven Giants coming down from Mexico City. But I made a bunch of money on the Mexico City trip, and I blew it all on Monday on Luis García.
Yeah,
so
that's very honest.
That was a
of
bummer.
You. And listen, it's just a reminder for everybody, a PSA, a public service announcement, that if there's a you know, stomach issues angle, you've just got to play it.
But you know what I didn't do is I didn't ask my book to cancel my prop bet because the guy came out after eight pitches. I just took it.
Would you like to rant about that for 45 seconds? Would you like to?
No, I don't have a problem with it, really, to be honest. Like, I think it sets up a bad precedent, but like, I think it looks bad to ask for a refund. I've never once asked for a bad beat refund or anything. So
yes, I agree. We all think it's a bad precedent to set for books to give these, but we understand that it's a marketing thing when they do give the refunds. But I agree with you that the worst part of it is now people literally, someone on Twitter is like, if this book did it and that other one doesn't, I'm doing a class action lawsuit against the other one. It's like, really? Why? You probably should.
People were really mad last week about the Kevin Loney. Is that his name?
Kevon Looney.
The Warriors, that he was sick or something. Like, it just, it never ends, but I would never expect it. I know you'd never expect it, but
never.
I don't have a problem with it. Like, if that's the way they want to do it, fine. Like,
all right, we got to run. Brewers, Cardinals. Was there anything else that I missed today?
That's all I got today. I love this getaway day baseball. I wish we had more of it. It'd be much better if we had day baseball every day of the week.
Yeah, it sure would be. By the way, there was a day yesterday, where we should have had day baseball, and for some reason we did not have a full slate. Jason, always a pleasure. Appreciate it, man. Good to see you.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
His hair grows fast, Kelly. That's what he says. Hair will be back soon.
He'll be back.
Mm-hmm. You like the angle that he had there on that Giants game? You got to respect it.
Yeah, okay. You got to track that.
You got an outbreak. You got to know it. Anything to make money. That's what we're here for. We'll come back. Dan Bespris on the National Basketball Association playoffs. The best audio in the biz. Which series he thinks is the most Michigan of thus far. It's next. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin here on A Numbers Game, live from the beautiful South Point Hotel, Majestic, tip of the strip.
Mm-hmm.
We can call it Majestic, right?
Of course we can. The deli's getting a makeover.
The deli is getting a makeover.
That's right. Full construction going on. New tiles going in, new booths going in over there.
Man. Ugh, luxury. Just luxury. By the way, were we able to find out who's doing the games tonight, announcers doing the games tonight?
No, I didn't. I literally found up till game four.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, cool.
It's a very hard thing to determine who's doing which games. But the reason I bring it up is because I love Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle's been on this show. He's been on other shows on the network. He's super generous with his time. He is wonderful. Everything he does is wonderful. But you know what sends shudders up on my spine every time he says?
Hartenstein.
It's like the Nuremberg rally over and over again watching a Knicks game. And I feel for my ancestors. Just want to point that out. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bespris joins us to talk NBA. Assistant GM at Sports Ethos, Fantasy NBA Today host. How you doing, Dano?
How do I follow that?
No idea. Just thoughts.
They don't call me the plain bagel for nothing, Gil.
That's great. By the way, you can follow Dano on Twitter at Dan Bespris, BESBRIS, for all of his pithy NBA remarks. Where do we start? Let's start with the Warriors and the Lakers. Game two of the two tonight. Although I guess the Hardenstein thing should have had me start with the other one. But let's start with the Lakers Warriors. Warriors only, I'll put that in quotes, only plus 350-ish, plus 380-ish to win three games in a row and win this series. They're 7.5-point favorites tonight. That is obviously why. It's all mathematics related. It's all derivative. They're going to be big favorites in Game 5, obviously, tonight. They will be in a potential Game 7. And Game 6 in L.A., it's going to be 1 point here, 1 point there in terms of the spread. So it makes sense. Do you believe that the Warriors figure this out?
I do not. I think we're at a juncture here where we've kind of seen the sort of the fastball from each team. We've seen the slider for me. I'm going to make this basketball all about baseball metaphors today. And now you're kind of down to the third, the fourth things that they want to try to do. And it's just about kind of attrition at this point. So I don't think that there's a magical figure out. I think that in terms of teams that could make it happen, I think, you know, you see the numbers, and that's a general belief that this is a club that if anybody could do it, the Warriors could do it. It just, to me, feels like we're at a point now where the size and strength of the Lakers has become, I mean, it started as a complication, but now there just aren't things that they can do anymore. What you've seen in the last couple of games here, and I'll try to reset the stage, is the Lakers are trying Anthony Davis in a bunch of different spots. The Warriors are continually trying to pull him away from the bucket. That's been the entire game at that end of the floor. And at the end of it all, the Lakers said, you know what, we're going to put AD on Wiggins because we don't trust that he can make the right decision in the short roll off that Curry pick and roll with Wiggins. And that slowed the Warriors down. They switched late. That was another thing. On the other side, the Warriors have figured out a way to slow down the Lakers. So they're, you know, we're at this sort of late stage title fight kind of thing. All of that, a very long way to say, I don't think that there's something that either team is about to just sort of magically figure out. It's going to have to tip their way three times in a row in what'll probably be relatively hotly contested ball games. And that to me is asking a lot. So no, it's not enough for me to try anything on the Warriors. That series price is ridiculously low for a team down 3-1. If you're going to look at anything, I would say maybe this game, because we've seen the Lakers have kind of de-throttled a little bit when they've been in the driver's seat. They lost that game 2 in Memphis. They didn't come out with any fire in game 2 here in this series. Lakers lost game 5 in the Memphis series when they had a chance to put him away. So if you're looking at precedent, maybe the Lakers are not going at what they would need to win this ball game. But yeah, plus 350 on the Warriors to win 3 in a row here, that to me is asking an awful lot.
Yeah, I bet you if we went back in the annals of NBA history of all teams down 3-1 and we saw their series prices, I don't think anything is as short as this. I really don't.
No. It has to be the shortest.
It has to be the shortest.
Right?
Yeah. And the throttling down thing for the Lakers, Will Hill mentioned that earlier on the show too, that appears to be an angle that many share for tonight's game. We'll see. What about the Heat and the Knicks? I mean, the Heat are 7-2 straight up in this postseason against the number one seed Bucks and a Knicks team that a lot of people thought was really good and then crushed the Cavaliers in the first round. And here we are. Knicks are 3.5-point favorites. I'll say it the same way I asked it earlier, which is, do the Knicks have some pride tonight and win or cover, let's say, this game?
I'm going to feel bad and I'm going to get everybody in New York mad at me, but I don't think that they do. I haven't liked what I've seen out of Randall in particular in this series. And how do you fade the Heat right now? Playoff Heat are monsters these days. They're on a roll. They have confidence. They're getting contributions across the board. You had a Gabe Vincent game. You've had some Kyle Lowry games mixed in there. You got the Max Strus games. The Heat are, they're a confident team, and this was always kind of not a great matchup for the Knicks because they planned on just sort of grinding teams down, and the Heat were like, okay, yeah, that's fine with us. We've got playoff Jimmy Butler. He'll be just okay in this one. I don't have as much schematic stuff on this series as I do on Lakers Warriors. This one is really more about...
That goes for all
of us. At this point, yeah, you trust the Heat. You trust the Heat. And then look at the series price. It's $200 higher. This is more, I think, what you'd expect with a team down 3-1. At this point, I'm not fading the Heat for pretty much any reason. They almost won the game without Jimmy Butler earlier this series.
Here's my question. My question yesterday, well, now this has gone down some, obviously, with the Sixers winning yesterday. Because yesterday, before when it was 2-2 in the Celtics-Sixers series, the Heat were 4-1 to win the conference. Now that it's the Sixers who took Game 5, that has dropped a bit. It is Heat plus 330 to win the East. And when it was 4-1, I said yesterday, I was like, is the best futures bet currently on the board staring us in the face as the Heat up 3-1? In their series, like on the cusp of the finals anyway, at that number. What about now with the prospect of the Sixers being on the doorstep of the finals in the Eastern Conference in the other series, and the Heat obviously having three shots at it in theirs, plus 330 to win the East in a potential Spoelstra versus Doc Rivers series?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this is one of those spots where you're like, what, I missed the 4-1 yesterday. I can't get by. I still think the plus 330 is probably the best bet on the board. If you can somehow do the mental gymnastics to forget that you lost $70 on it, of the numbers that everybody's looking at on their screen right now, Sixers at minus 105, Celtics plus 220, Heat plus 330, Knicks 25-1. Yeah, I mean, obviously 25-1 is fun, but you have to believe something's going to happen. The Heat at plus 330 is still the best number out there. Matchup wise, the Heat have a good set of matchups if they face the Sixers in the next round. I like what Philly's done, actually. I got to give them credit. I didn't think that they would get to this point and have this great shot to advance. But again, why fade the Heat? If the only reason is because we missed 4-1 yesterday, I don't think that's a good enough reason.
No, that shouldn't be the reason. The reason should be, I can't get past what I saw for 82 games and then the 7-8 game and then the game for the 8th seed. I still can't get past that. I don't believe this. That'd be the only reason. But it's hard to get past these last 9 games. So if I look at the 2 games tonight and the 2 games tomorrow, again, Knicks favored by 3.5 tonight, Warriors favored by 7.5 in the nightcap. And then tomorrow, game 6 is the Celtics actually 1.5-point favorites at Philly and the Suns 3.5-point favorites at home against the Nuggets in a series, in that Nuggets-Sun series where everybody's won on their home court so far and kind of feels like everybody will. What's the single best bet? If I said you must make one side bet, either side in any of those 4 games, 2 tonight, 2 tomorrow, what's the bet?
Yeah, you kind of hinted at it with the last thing you said, which is it doesn't feel yet to me like the Nuggets are the road warriors they would need to be to close this thing out. And it also feels like you're going to get a big one out of KD or Booker or both in that that game. What are we at now? 5-6 down in Phoenix. I can't keep track anymore, Gil. So it's probably Suns at a relatively short number there. And if you're looking at a total, I think I kind of like Lakers and Warriors under this evening. It just kind of feels like these two teams have now stopped the A, B, and C offensive options, and you get into this everybody's tired, grind them out kind of game. 226 is a pretty big number for Lakers-Warriors when you're seeing these games slow down pretty much every game as we go.
All right, unders Lakers-Warriors. Yeah. All right, we'll do that one. Obviously, the Knicks and the Heat has been trending low, but those totals reflect that. So the bet would be under in the Lakers-Warriors from Dano tonight. Thank you, Dan. Great seeing you, man.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for working around my goofball schedule all the time.
Your man's got kids. He's got little kids. Hartenstein. See you later, Dan. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hartenstein.
Dan Besbris. DanBesbris on Twitter. Kelly and I back on the other side with our bets of the day as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin hanging out on a Wednesday morning. We'll get to our bets of the day here momentarily. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason, H118. Oh, I always thought it was 11. Gilly, have a new game. Try and find your tennis plays by listening only. You're not allowed to look at the screen and see how the names are spelled. Good luck to everyone, he says. That's interesting. Interesting game for everybody. J-Rod, Pritch is so right. Definitely go to Japan. Have been to Tokyo 3 times. Japanese baseball's awesome. Way closer to college football environment than ours. They have brass bands, but way more mascots. I saw the Giants had 7. I think he means the Yomiuri Giants, not Nailed our it. Giants.
Brag.
Yomiuri. 7 mascots, 1 team? Is there anything funnier than mascots? No. What is it about? We know that there are humans underneath them, but because of the large size heads that make us laugh so much.
It really is. And I appreciate any, like, it's usually kids, but I still enjoy this because I'm just a big child. Like, when kids try to get them to talk, you know what I mean? Like, they will not break character. I'm all for trying to get them to talk.
The San Francisco Giants mascot, Lou Seal, L-O-U, last name Seal, this is a tribute to the old San Francisco Seals, does this sort of, suggestive dance when he sees an attractive girl, and he always does the sunglasses, like he lifts them up just to get them out. He does it 1,000 times a game, never not funny.
Never gets
left. Never not funny, because he's in a mascot outfit. It's amazing. Let's see.
I know some of the minor league teams in Florida, Gil. Like, I don't know if why I didn't do a bunch of play-by-play here, but some of the minor league teams in Florida, for like when they go into single A ball and stuff, they would do, if you wanted to do play-by-play or anything like that, you like were part of a rotation that was like you could do play-by-play for a game, and then you're going to handle like media relations for a game, and then you're going to be the mascot for a game. And then you'll come back and do play-by-play.
Oh, wow.
It's like how 23-year-old kids like get their start in the biz.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Like, you got to do it all.
Mascot day must be great. Gets hot in there, though, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And then Jason Stark. We have a lot of Jasons. Jason Stark, not that Jason Stark, not the baseball guy. But he says, hey, Gil, Paul Carr coming on for Champions League again today. Great hit yesterday. He's not, but Paul reminds us that he has Inter Milan today at +150 for today's game. Inter Milan is his play of the day in the Champions League. And then New York Mets 16, Scott says, the short price on the Warriors to still win the series down 3-1 reminds me of the Chiefs. Oh, this is a great call. Chiefs being down 28-0 to the Texans in that playoff game, and they were still minus money to win the game in the second quarter. Yeah, great call.
Oh, man.
That was they're going to come back. And they were way down. But Mahomes is Mahomes.
Wait. Which game are you talking about?
Remember a few years back?
The
playoff game.
Yeah, I lost money to Matt Brown on that. We had like a sizable side bet.
Oh, you did.
And it was like one of those where we devolved into like yelling into each other on air.
Sure.
I was like, I'm taking the points, blah, blah. And it was like 7.5, I think. It was like Texans +7.5, +8 or something like that. And yeah, they're up 28-0. And I'm like, yeah, how about that? And smoked. Because they covered too, right? Yeah, I believe they covered that game.
Yeah, I believe they did. Great moments in covering his.
Yeah, that one's always going to stay. You know those bets you have with friends, right? Like where you've gone boom. Like that, I think that is the height of Matt Brown and I butting heads over a game.
Trust me, I've won money from people. They're still talking about it. You got lucky. This happened. Exactly. That happened. I'm like, no, that's not what happened. But you keep telling yourself that. Thanks for the money. I didn't even spend it. I framed it. How about
that? Like, it's one of the, we always talk about, like, you don't remember the wins, right? You remember the bad beats. Yeah. Like, I remember losses to friends way more than anything else. Yes, because usually they bring it back up, right?
Let us review the, by the way, did you end up with any basketball bets tonight?
Well, I'm on Warriors.
You are
from
on
the other
Warriors.
Day. Yeah, I'm okay. On Warriors. I laid 5.5. I do agree with Dan. I'm not sure if Will hit on it too, but I think Drew brought it up yesterday. I think the under is probably a good look there. Just over, I think Dan said it well. I think all these guys hit on this series well. I think we've kind of hit the point where we've figured out what each other can do, and I think this could be a lot more pressure on individual possessions at end of games. I think we could see, maybe not tonight, but I think these could be close games, low scoring, very, very good defensive games. So I don't disagree at all with anybody looking at the under tonight in this game. That's the way I would lean.
You take anything on the Leafs-Panthers game tonight or the Golden Knights and the Oilers?
I did not, but yeah. I would be rooting hard for the Oilers because they do have a future for them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What's your number on the Oilers?
10-1, I think, to win the Stanley Cup.
10-1?
Yeah.
All right. People in town must hate you when you go around with that ticket. You wave that ticket around?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Oilers minus
one. I'm hoping to make it to a game. That would be nice.
Andy McNeil still loves the Oilers. They're minus 190 in game four as they try to knot up that series against the Golden Knights at 2 games apiece. And then the Panthers try to sweep the Leafs tonight. Leafs, slight favorites in that hockey game, minus 120.
Let's go, Panthers.
Leafs try to do what only four teams in hockey have done before, come back from a 3-0 deficit.
I mean, this is a South Florida tradition right here. Whether the Panthers or the Marlins, once every, like, 8 years sort of matter in a playoffs, and everybody rallies behind them all of a sudden. They don't show up to any regular season games at all, and now they're all big-time fans.
South Florida tradition.
South Florida tradition.
That's what leaps to mind when I think of South Florida. Yeah, a little hockey.
But if you are not the Heat or the Dolphins, it is nobody cares unless you've made it to the playoffs and probably won a round.
And I would argue when I was a kid, it was the Hurricanes and everybody else. It really it really felt that way for a while as well. Not Dolphins always when they were good.
You know how many obnoxious like University of Miami fans there are in South Florida where you're like, why are you a fan of Miami? You didn't go to school there. Well, my dad was a fan. Did he go to school there? No, he just moved to South Florida in the 80s or 90s. Cool.
Became by a proxy.
Right, yeah.
All right, your golf plays again real quick for everybody who wants to bet the Byron Nelson.
Yeah, again, focused mainly two bigger bets in the top 20 markets, K.H. Lee and then Matt Kuchar. And then this is really opposite of what I did last week. Last week in a designated event, played one outright last week, yielded a bunch of finishing position and tournament matchups. I might add matchups today because they were still working on posting yesterday when I was doing all my golf handicapping betting and then us recording long shots. Because of all these withdrawals, Gil, I have a feeling they were the matchup markets were – books were being careful posting or having to take down and repost. So I might add a couple tournament matchups, but there wasn't a lot that jumped out to me yesterday. So few long shots. Hoagie 50-1, Stallings 70-1, Sam Stevens 80-1, Ryan Palmer 150-1. I will have probably a couple first round leader bets today as well. Going to check in on the weather though. There is it is supposed to be pretty windy. Looks like yesterday when I looked at it, looked like there'd be a AM PM wave advantage a little bit. Try not to overreact to that stuff, but it's always things you want to keep in mind when you're handicapping golf.
Yeah, and K.H. Lee, again, if you missed it earlier, K.H. Lee has won this tournament 2 years in a row, 25-1 or thereabouts to win it all.
125-1, 100-1.
Yeah, but now
he's 25-1.
But your top 20 at plus 135 seems like it would be a pretty solid wager there, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, coming in good form.
Coming in good form as well. And by the way, I got a text about, hey, ask Kelly if he likes Sungjae Im for the PGA, but you haven't even gone that far yet.
Yeah, I really haven't dived into it too much. I'd imagine Sungjae is going to be up there for me, though.
Okay.
It really just top of mind with stats I've been looking at recently. Yes, I think Sungjae, we'll see next week, but he is kind of on a short list for me.
It's a great time of year. Golf's second major of the year coming up next week, and then tennis's second major of the year right after that in France.
Yeah.
My tennis pick of the day, in case you missed it, actually one of two. We hit one overnight on Tomas Martin Echeverri. That got home as a minus 152 favorite overnight against Van Ash. But we have one more in the pocket here today. Nuria Brancaccio. Nuria Brancaccio is plus 178. The numbers are good. She shouldn't be plus 178. We'll take a flyer on her. That's in the Italian Open. And we'll put all these on VSiN.com/picks page.
That's right.
We will absolutely do that for all. And again, if you missed it, I have Iga futures for both the Italian, also for the French, and then I have Iga Alcaraz, Kinyelas, the old double in the French Open as well. That tennis match, 2 hours away, I believe. But don't hold me to that because they're always fluctuating.
I see multiple listed at 11 a.m. all the time.
Get them in if you believe. Again, VSiN.com/picks for subscribers at VSiN.com. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.